الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم المرسلين حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة، ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر، وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين. صدق الله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, in tonight's Taraweeh, we have completed another beautiful surah of the Quran, namely Surah An-Nur, which was revealed in the holy land of Medina Tayyibah, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays down certain principles and prescribes certain laws and injunctions. And if we abide by these laws and injunctions, we will be able to create a very pure environment and build a very pure, rich, and a very good community if we keep to these principles that Allah has laid down in this surah. The first Quranic and divine law and injunction is: abstain from all types of illegal enjoyment and unlawful relationships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly in the Quran warns us of this great abominable act of zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned and prescribed very, very severe punishments for that person who engages in this disgusting act of zina. And this is because zina, it may seem as one crime per se, but in reality it's a root to 1,000 evils. A child born out of wedlock, he lacks true parental love and affection, and therefore he'll be deprived of education, morals and ethics. Likewise, this evil action of zina will make or destroy the unity that one enjoys at his home. A person who engages in this evil act of zina, who has been involved in illicit relationships, he will never be comfortable at home. He will never be satisfied and content with his partner. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, whoever engages in this evil act, then whoop and lash him 100 times. And Allah then addresses the entire ummah in general, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةً. They do not feel pity for such people. They do not sympathize with them. They have broken the orders of Allah and carry out the commands of Allah by punishing these people. You find in this, under this verse, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. There's an incident that took place in Makkah Mukarramah, where once a woman from a very prominent family, she was caught stealing, and she was proven guilty of theft before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the order was given, her hand was be cut off. So the family were feeling very hard to give in to this command of Nabi alayhi salam. So they spoke to Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, a very close and dear companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to go to Nabi alayhi salam and intercede on their behalf. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu takes the courage and he goes to Nabi alayhi salam and he intercedes on their behalf. Nabi alayhi salam tells him, Usama, I never expect you to do something like this. Are you interceding in the hudud of Allah? And then he says, by Allah, if my daughter Fatima has to steal, I will personally cut a hand off. Look at the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you sympathize with people who break the orders of Allah Rabbul Izzah? The next Quranic and divine law in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, the gist of these verses, never rush to any conclusion in accusing someone of zina. This is a very, very serious crime. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, if you accuse someone of committing zina and you cannot prove or provide four reputable witnesses, then all of you will be lashed 80 times for accusing someone of committing this action of zina. Therefore, be very, very wary when you speak evil about some person, or you cast blasphemous remarks towards some person, or you call him some names, and you pick on a person. We have to be very wary with these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeatedly in this surah has warned us from jumping to conclusions and passing comments regarding people being zani and committing zina. Allah says that if you do so, you will be lashed 80 times. And this is another Quranic law mentioned in the surah. Then another Quranic law comes in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers in general to always think good about the Muslim brothers and sisters. Never think bad and evil of your Muslim brother. Always try and make some interpretation for his wrong. Nabi alayhi salam says, Man ra'a awratan, whoever sees a fault of his Muslim brother And instead of publicizing and broadcasting his fault, he conceals and hides the man's fault. Allah will conceal his fault on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will hide this man's wrongs on the day of Qiyamah. Therefore, there's unanimity amongst the scholars regarding this point, that if you do see someone committing this evil, abominable act of zina, it is required or it is recommendable for you to conceal the man's wrong. Instead of reporting him to the authorities and the court in the Islamic land, conceal the man's wrong, and this is something which is great reward for you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, running through the surah, takes to task those people who were responsible for accusing and slandering our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And the main person behind the slander and accusation was Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the leader of the hypocrites, who was none other than Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, who played a great role in this accusation. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, and this entire narration appears in Sahih al-Bukhari and many other authentic books. And there's no time to go into the details of this incident, just to go through a few points. She states that it was the noble practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he intended to set out on a journey, he would draw lots amongst his wives. And whoever's name came out in the lot, then she would accompany him on that journey. So one of his campaigns, he drew lots amongst his wives, and my name happened to come out. So I was chosen to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She says, we moved, we traveled, and then on our return back to Medina Tayyibah, we camped at the outskirts of Medina Tayyibah. And we all went to sleep, we retired to bed. And early morning, the announcement was made of the time of departure. And Nabi alayhi salam gave out an announcement to all those who were part of that group to get ready to pack their luggage. And now we're moving on to Medina Tayyibah. So she says, I had to respond to the call of nature. So I went out and relieved myself, and then I returned to my camp, realizing I've lost a very valuable, precious necklace of mine. So I went in search of this necklace, and whilst being busy searching for this necklace, I got a bit delayed. When I get back, I was to my surprise, I see the entire army has moved on, and I'm all alone. So I sat in the same place where I left them, thinking that they would return and then fetch me. And then I fell off to sleep, and suddenly I see Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu coming, and he sees me and he says immediately, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He realizes that the wife of Rasulullah SAW got left behind. Aisha radiallahu anha states that by Allah, he never uttered even a single word to me. The only thing he said was, mount on the conveyance and continue traveling to Medina. He then moved ahead and I followed from behind. Like this, we came to Medina Tayyibah, and I was an innocent girl. I was a total simpleton. I knew nothing about committing zina. I come to Medina Tayyibah, I go to Nabi alayhi salam, and I could sense I'm not receiving the same treatment I was before in the past. She then says, I fell ill. And after some time, one of the nights, I went to relieve myself with the mother of Mistah radiallahu an, who was a very close relative of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an. So the mother of Mistah radiallahu anha, whilst walking, she happens to trip, and then she falls and she curses her son Mistah. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, I was quite amused. I was quite baffled and shocked to see why she's cursing her son Mistah. So I asked her, why are you doing this? So she then informed me of the accusation that was made against me. And her son Mistah was also part of this accusation. So immediately I became very, very sad. I became very worried and concerned. I went back to Nabi alayhi salam, and then I sought his permission to go and stay at my parents' home. Nabi alayhi salam gave me permission. I went to my parents' home and then I asked them about this rumor that is spreading in Medina regarding me. So my mother tried to console and comfort me. I realized that there is some truth to what I have heard and this which the mother of Mistah radiallahu anha has informed me about. She says, I began to cry and weep and sob like a little child. Throughout the night I could not sleep, nor could I stop crying. The next morning I continued crying. Days and nights went, I'm continuing to cry. Nabi alayhi salam never come to visit me even one day. Until 30 days passed, one entire month went. In the meantime, Nabi alayhi salam was making mashura with his two great companions, Ali bin Abi Talib and Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu tells Nabi alayhi salam, Ya Rasulullah, by Allah, we only know good about your wife. There's nothing we can't pick on any fault of hers. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has not put any difficulty on you. That if you wish, you can divorce and marry many other women. And this is your prerogative, your choice. No one can question you. Then after 30 days, Nabi alayhi salam comes to visit me. And then he tells me, O Aisha, I have heard about this accusation. Speak the truth, O Aisha. If you are guilty, acknowledge your wrong and seek Allah's forgiveness. And if you are innocent, then surely Allah will declare your innocence. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I was overwhelmed with emotions. I could not respond to him. I only said to him, O Nabi of Allah, if I say I am innocent, you will not believe me. If I say I am guilty, I will be speaking a lie. The only response I can give is, the response given by the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ I will exercise patience. I will have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will declare my innocence. She then says that Nabi alayhi salam was sitting in our home. And after a few minutes, we noticed that wahi was being revealed. That beads of perspiration was flowing or falling from his forehead. And we realized that now wahi was being sent to him. And after he had come out of the state, he then called me, O Aisha, receive glad tidings. Allah has declared your innocence in the Quran. She says, I never considered myself to be worthy of being declared innocent in the Quran of Allah. Look at her rank that she enjoyed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah brought down so many verses declaring her innocence. And Allah took those people who were involved in this accusation to task for accusing the wife of Nabi alayhi salam. Allah specifically speaks about the leader of the munafiqeen, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Allah says that the one who was played the greatest role in this accusation, who was behind the entire slander, let him know for him will be a very, very severe punishment in the akhirah. So again, look at the rank she enjoyed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared so many, sent down so many verses to declare the innocence of this great woman of Islam, who is none other than Aisha radiallahu anha. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then commands the believers to always think good of the next person, always to interpret whatever we hear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, that, O believers, when you heard about this accusation, why didn't you say to yourselves, مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا? That we're not going to comment, we're not going to make any statement, it's not befitting for us to speak regarding this accusation. Subhanak, O Allah, you know best. هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ According to our understanding, this is a slander. It's a false accusation. We will not think bad of our Muslim brother and sister. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions various laws in this entire surah. And this is again a very great and noble surah of the Quran, Surah An-Nur, revealed in Medina Tayyibah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the true qualities of the believers and to help us establish and implement all these laws that were prescribed in the surah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.